One of our goals as parents is to make sure that when the time comes, our children are ready to assume the responsibilities that come along with adulthood. But Pete Hardesty says, in order to do that well, they need to have a bigger understanding about the meaning and purpose of life. Here's Pete.
I had a mentor in Virginia Beach named Jack, who I would meet with regularly every week, and he would ask me often, PD, have you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? And I would answer repeatedly, no, I still haven't, Jack. It's an odd question, but little by little, it kind of made its way from my mind down to my heart. And he would answer, of course you haven't, because naked you come and naked you go. So you better figure out what matters in this life and give yourself wholeheartedly to it.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. Helping our kids move into adulthood is an important transition phase, but the more important transition is the one that comes at the end of life. We'll talk more about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So, do you follow this hashtag on social media, the hashtag adulting?
I do not, Bob, but I'm gonna.
So like Melissa here, hashtag adulting. Yesterday was so perfect, even though all we did was clean and do errands. Hashtag adulting. Here's another one. What is college, you ask? I'm currently eating an entire box of mac and cheese straight out of the pot that I cooked, and then I'm taking a nap. I don't know that that's adulting, but she hashtagged that as adulting.
I've got one question for you, Bob.
Yeah?
Are you an adult yet? I'm looking at the back of this thing, a grown-up who has responsibilities, full-time job, rent, or car payment. I'm thinking, Bob Lapine, are you an adult yet?
I don't have a car payment. So
that's good.
I have a full-time job, but I don't have a car payment. I've been able to whittle that one down over the years.
That's good news.
But this is something that has become a new, kind of a new phenomenon in this culture with young people who we always thought when, I don't know, in the old days when they turned 18 right. or then when they turned 21 or 22, that they became adults. Now it's like we're not really sure when somebody becomes an adult.
And I think is that the phenomena of the boomerang culture that our kids are coming back to our home?
Because they don't know how to engage and what to do and where to go.
Right.
By the way, they're not coming back to our home, Bob. Ain't going to happen. They may think they are, but the door's going
to
be locked.
Did you spell it out to them?
Did you have that conversation?
Oh, we had that conversation. Now, of course, you know, in dire situations, we're going to welcome them back in. But it's like, okay, dude, it's time to be an adult. And that means grow up and live on your own.
I remember prepping my kids in the college years and saying, now, you just need to know there is a day coming, and here's the—I would show it to them on the calendar. Here's the day when insurance and cell phone will belong to you. You'll be responsible, and if you can't pay insurance, you can't drive, and if you don't have a cell phone, I'm not worried about that. So they were starting to think that day is coming, and I better get ready for it and figure out—because those were the two important things on their calendar was I better be able to drive, and I better have my cell phone, and they just knew— You're going to be responsible for that about 90 days after you have received your diploma. We'll give you a little grace period, and then you're out of the nest and you're on your own at that point.
I actually did that at my youngest son's wedding. I'm his dad, but I'm the pastor.
Yes.
And there's Cody and there's Jenna, and I pulled out of my pocket the car insurance bill, and I said, here you go, son. It starts right now.
Well, the reason we're talking about this is because we've got a couple of guys joining us today who have written a book called Adulting 101. Josh Burnett and Pete Hardesty join us. Pete, Josh, welcome to Family Life Today.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks so
much. Yeah. This is something you guys are engaged with really in two different areas of life because, Pete, you give leadership to young life leaders all up and down the East Coast. You've been involved with Young Life for 2 decades, right?
Yeah, a little over. I went to my first Young Life club when I was in 1989.
And Josh, you were a volunteer leader working with Pete for a while, right?
Yes, for 4 years.
And now you are a Chick-fil-A owner-operator. So you're working with a lot of people who are pre-adulting, right?
That is correct, or in that transitional phase.
So how did the two of you come together and say, you know, we need to put our heads together and address this subject and help moms and dads and help young people understand the realities of adulting?
So if you rewind the clock back to when I was at James Madison and Pete was my boss, my area director, he did a tremendous job at preparing the students for life after school. He would take us and teach us how to grocery shop, gave us a list of life information, and I referred back to that information and those documents more than any other textbook that I had used over those 4 years in college. And over time, had the chance to share some of that with my team members that I'd had the opportunity to employ, and I always received really great feedback about how applicable that was to their lives. And so we fast forward a little bit, and a lot of the dialogues that I have with my employees have been around, how do I buy a car? How do I move out on my own? How do I budget well? And these were things that Pete helped teach us throughout the course of college. And one day I gave him a call and said, hey, Pete, would you be interested in writing a book? Because I'm going to steal most of your material.
Wow.
And I said, here and there, but not really. He said, well, I haven't opened one of my college textbooks since I graduated that day.
Wow.
But, you know, we did a little senior prep course 4 or 5 weeks in the spring. He said, I've referred back to that stuff all the time. And I think other people could benefit from this. Josh had shared it in around Chick-fil-A, and a bunch of other owner-operators had taken their teams through it and thought, you know, this is going to be useful on a bigger scale. So,
Josh, you came from a family that poured into you and helped get you ready for life, but you found yourself in college with a lot of questions that they hadn't filled in the gaps for you with, right?
So I think there's a balance in that where my parents did a tremendous job with me and my siblings, but there's still things that we take for granted that we assume the next generation knows by just osmosis, by being around, that Pete was incredibly intentional about showcasing and sharing with the leaders that he engaged with. And kind of marrying those two and bridging those two together has been really a big part of how Adulting 101 came together.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that because as a mom raising three sons, I think I was trying to give them tools for life that were practical. But honestly, I think half the time they weren't even listening to me. You know, they're like, yeah, whatever, mom. And I don't think it was necessary at the time. They thought, oh, I've got a lot more living to do. But I love that you guys came in and you're at a point where people, these kids want to learn and they need it. So you're really giving them help.
And my mom, I think, is the best mom on earth, but she's Italian.
Wait, what does that mean?
But she's Italian?
That means, well, yeah, no, I love Italians.
She's listening right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
That means, I got to watch what I say now. That means that she likes to care for everybody that comes in the house. If you come into our house, it's sit down, what do you need to eat, drink? You're going to eat more than you should. And I had never done a load of laundry when they dropped me off at college, ever in my life. My parents, I really believe, loved me, still do love me, and wanted to set me up for success, but they had never thought that that was
practical.
More on the other side of she cared for us so much. So I have crazy stories about, I mean, the first time I was doing laundry, I kept putting it longer and longer. I went out and bought some new clothes so I didn't have to wash them. I had spilled a big bottle of Snapple. It had crashed on the floor. I just mopped it up, and I had no idea. I put a huge wet towel into my dirty clothes bag, like the third day I was there. So when I pulled out after 3 weeks, this bag of dirty laundry, things were jumping out of it, and there was mold over all my clothes. I had no idea. So I went, took it down to the washing machine, and I didn't know what to do. So I washed it, didn't get the mold out. This guy was really helpful. He had bleach. He said, I think you just put some bleach in there.
No.
So I ruined all my clothes, and my parents really were trying to set me up for success in the next stage, just hadn't shared with me some of the more practical things. So I don't think it's always a matter of do parents care. I think a lot of parents care, but maybe don't know exactly or have the tools to really set their kids up for success at that next level.
Yeah, I'll tell you, even as a dad, of course my sons are grown now, but reading your book, I saw all the things I never did as a dad. I mean, it was great. It was like, oh my gosh, this is a toolbox for parents, let alone other people like yourselves, to pour into their lives. I remember one time my middle son was driving back to college. I walk in the kitchen. Ann is on the phone. He has a flat tire. I can, you know, discern all this. And here's what Ann says, right? She says, oh, honey, just sit there. We're calling AAA. They'll be out. They're going to change the tire. And I literally go, give me that phone. She's like, what? Give me that phone. I grab it. I go, Austin, what's going on? I'm on, the side of the road. I go, we're going to change this tire together.
And I'm arguing because I'm like, this is dangerous. Like, he shouldn't be doing that.
And I'm pushing her out of the way. And I realized in that moment, oh my gosh, I've never taught my son how to change a tire, which I should have done. That's a basic life skill, which I did there over the phone. We went through the manual. We found it. He changed it. And, by the end of the thing, he's like, Dad, that was awesome. Right? Next thing I do, you know what I did? I literally walked out of the kitchen. Cody, because I still had one at home. Where are you? What? We're changing a tire. What? I don't have a flat tire. We're changing a tire right now in the driveway trying to help him become an adult. And I thought, man, this book is a valuable tool to help people do that. So have you seen that happen? People take it and start using it in basic life skills.
Dave, you know what? I've heard from a lot of dads taking sons and daughters through, and moms, taking their sons and daughters through this book as a springboard.
Wow.
To kind of, because they have a lot of things they want to impart, but it's hard if you don't have a track to run on. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't have everything. There's not a silver bullet, right, to teach people. But it's a good track to start with because each parent would bring something unique to the table that might not be in the book, but it goes through topically some really big issues that they maybe could go through. And I know that there's several parents taking their kids through it each week. They just read a chapter and then they kind of sit down and get to have some time and go over. And they bring some other stuff to the table that maybe is not included in the book.
Yeah, so we're talking about laundry and flat tires. and those are not insignificant issues, those life skill issues. Is that where the majority of the gaps are with the young people that you guys are working with? Is it in basic life skills, or are there different issues where the gaps are that they need to be able to fully engage as adults?
Every person's going to be a little different in what their needs are and how to best engage with them and what's kind of next. And so hopefully what this book also does, in addition to providing information, helps them discern a little bit better in life. So we kind of launch in Adulting 101 with your purpose. What's the bigger picture? What's overarching themes in your life? And everything beyond that is going to be very tactical. It's going to be the how-tos in life. It's going to be the nuts and bolts of how to be a good functioning adult. And it was written in a way that was intentional that anybody could pick it up, regardless of belief set, and this is applicable information to them.
Do you think that the average 22-year-old today doesn't have an idea of what their purpose is or where they ought to be investing their lives?
Bob, that's such a good question. I had a mentor in Virginia Beach named Jack who I would meet with regularly every week, and he would ask me often, PD, have you ever seen a hearse pull in a U-Haul? And I would answer repeatedly, no, I still haven't, Jack. It's an odd question, but little by little, it kind of made its way from my mind down to my heart, and he would answer, of course you haven't, because naked you come and naked you go. So you better figure out what matters in this life and give yourself wholeheartedly to it. And that has rung in my life. Did I know what really mattered when I was 22? I'm not sure. But I think that people matter. And I know that that's kind of where our journey began, is we want our lives to matter. And everybody's life does matter. But we have to figure out what really stands the test of time. What echoes in eternity, we would say. And I think that's where we begin. Because if we don't really know what our life's about or what our purpose of our life, it almost doesn't matter if we can do some of the practical stuff like do our laundry or change a tire that we maybe go over towards the end of the book or in the second half.
So if you are talking to a typical mom and she's raising kids, whether she's a single mom or she's married, what would you advise her, like, to give a kid purpose, to be speaking into their life, their identity, their future? How would she go about that?
The first thing that comes to mind, Anne, is 2 Corinthians 4 at the end of the chapter. And that's where we begin. That's where Josh and I began, is to set our mind on the things that are unseen, the things that stand the test of time. If we come from nothing and we're going to nothing, guess what we have in between? Nothing. But if we came from something and we were created with meaning, purpose, and significance, and when we die, there's a place that we go with meaning and purpose and significance— guess what we have in between? if we come from something and we go to something, we have everything in between. Mm-hmm. And so I think if somebody doesn't know their purpose for their life, or that if they have any purpose, that's going to be tough to actually really be successful in life.
I have found myself over and over again sitting down with younger people who are wrestling with this issue of what's my purpose. And I've said, you know, Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship. We're created for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has a purpose for you. He created you to fulfill that purpose. And what we're trying to do together here is figure out what is that purpose that God made you for so that you can be a part of his kingdom work. And that can be a hard journey for a young person to be on. And I've often said, rather than trying to do it like a treasure hunt where you just are consumed with trying to find that perfect spot, just start doing some things and watch where God blesses and where there's favor brought into your life. To say to a young person, just get out and live life. And when you start to see, A, I feel alive when I do this, and B, people respond well when I do this, and it's effective, then just stay in that lane and watch it blossom for you. A lot of young people, I think, get paralyzed trying to zero in on what's the exact thing God has for me, and they're postponing life until they've got it figured out. And the way you figure it out is you do life, and you learn, okay, it's not this. God doesn't have this for me because I'm not good at it, or people don't respond to it, or I don't like it. And then you go, but I do like this, and it's in the doing of life that this starts to become clear to you.
I think this is the difference between preparation and planning. And as I look back across my life and all of the things that I had planned out that I wanted to see come to fruition that didn't, and the identity that I had wrapped up in those things was crushed because I didn't go to the school that I wanted to go to, and that changed the trajectory of my life. I didn't get the job I wanted to right after college. Also changed who I am today. And so I had the opportunity to prepare well for whatever might lie ahead. But every plan that I've ever put in place, it seems like God has laughed at me and has shifted me a different direction. So to your point, it's all about moving forward and doing something and preparing the best you can for the stage of life you're in, mm-hmm. versus planning out what is my life purpose on a beautiful piece of paper and knowing what that looks like at 22. I think it's much more of a journey. It's much more of how do I prepare well in the season that I'm in for the future.
Yeah, our parents, our grandparents thought when I graduate or when I get in the workforce, then I get the job that I'll be in for 30 or 40 years. Mm. Well, that's not the reality for our kids today who may be in 10 different jobs before they retire, which doesn't make the old way right or wrong or this way right or wrong. It's just the reality that you got a lot of time to figure out what your purpose is. Just start doing some things.
Mm. We say we know God's will for your life. And we know the purpose for your life in a general sense.
Yeah, right.
And then specifically, you'll flesh that out a little differently. Yeah. But the purpose of everyone's life is to love God and love people. Mm. That's for every single human on the earth. We also know God's will for your life because in the Bible, several places, it says, this is God's will for you. Mm-hmm. So we can grab those and kind of compile them, and we have a list. But then it begins career choice, or what are you going to do? What are you going to major in? What are you going to do after college? Are you going to go for a gap year? Are you going to go travel after? All these types of questions start to be ones that you actually start to figure that out for yourself. I also believe we can't mess it up, because if I could have messed it up, I already would have. I've made some poor decisions in my life. And that doesn't mean we can't make bad decisions with very bad consequences. I'm not saying that.
But it's reassuring that it's never too late.
It's never too late. Because think about if I had chosen the wrong college, that God had this perfect college for me to choose. That was the one I was supposed to meet my wife at. But I go to a different college, I meet a different gal and get married. Am I going to have a second best wife? What if I have kids with that wife? Second best kids? That's not how God works. So I know we can have that security that we can't mess up God's will for our life, actually. Mm-hmm. We can make good decisions, bad decisions, good judgments, bad judgments. But we can hold on to that he's going to see us through, and he's standing over time. So you might be in a spot where you've thought, I've made a decision I can't rally back from. And that's not true.
Well, and I've told my kids over the years, I said, you have two kinds of decisions you make. You make good decisions or you make decisions that invite learning opportunities for you.
That's
those,
good.
Those
that's
are the
good.
Two. So when you make a decision, at the end of it, you either go, that was a good decision, or I can learn something from the decision I just made. And at that point, every decision is redeemable in God's purpose for you to grow and expand. And I've certainly made my share of decisions where I had learning experiences that came out of those. And your kids need those. In fact, before your kids graduate, they need to be making some decisions that are learning decisions under your supervision. So you're there to coach them and help them so that they learn not just how to change a tire, but they learn how to deal with failure. They learn how to deal with discouragement. They learn how to deal with a grade that comes back and it wasn't the grade that they needed for that test. They get some learning out of that,
yeah,
right?
That very thought, Bob, created many fights in our home.
I was just going to say that. Like, this was a tension point.
We're going to have a fight right now about it. No, we would fight about that because I was the dad saying, I want them to make bad decisions. They're going to make bad decisions.
You didn't want them to, but you were willing to see where they were.
No, I wanted them to. See, there's the fight. I'm like, I want to be a part of helping them pick up the broken pieces.
You're a realist. You know they're going to make bad decisions.
I mean, they're going to do it later, and they're going to be out there, and we're not going to be around. And again, I don't want to control it, but I wanted to be part of the journey as they make bad decisions to be there and say, okay, it's adulting 101. It's like, okay, how do we become adults in this situation while they're still here?
We would weigh it, actually. Dave would say, let's weigh the consequences. If they mess up, is this something we're okay with that they can learn from that won't have necessarily life consequences so far down the line? And so I was all about, like, let's not let them do it. Let's, you know, I had all these rules and restrictions. And Dave was kind of more of the bent of, let's just see what they do and see where their hearts are.
Yeah.
So that we know how to coach and teach and love them through it.
So you see?
That's very painful for me.
Right. I'm just saying. No, I'm not.
There's a local school in this area that talks about those being soft fails, to be able to fail in a place that's still safe,
right,
where they can come home and get the pieces picked up. And the school came under some heat recently because they posted a sign saying, like, if your kid forgot their homework, don't bring it to them. They'll be okay. If they forgot their lunch, don't bring it to them. They'll be okay. And
and
it's just around this idea of failing well.
Mm-hmm.
And before there's long-term ramifications of those fails. But I love the concept of soft fails.
Well, and Anne, I think the point for the folks listening today is, as you're raising kids, you want them to be able to adult early.
Yes.
You want them to be able to embrace life and to manage life well. And to do that, you've got to be engaged and involved as a parent, and you can't just be casual about this. And even the best parent who does the best job, there's still going to be gaps in what you do. But get in the game and be as proactive as you can be.
Yes. I can remember, I love that you guys are talking about this, because as a second grader, I was 8 years old, didn't go to church, had no church background, but I can remember saying, God, why was I put on this earth? And that's young. I remember saying that to my 85-year-old dad at one point. And I said, Dad, do you remember the first time you thought, why was I put on this earth? And he said, I've never had that thought in my entire life, and I'm 85 years old.
Wow.
But because that was burning in my heart, I remember laying down with our boys when they were little, and I would say things like, I can't wait to see what God has for you. And they would be, this is little, and they would say, is it a present? And I said, kind of, because when you discover what God put in you and your gifts and your talents and your passions, it is like a present, because you, when you do something in the future, when you do it, you think, that's why I was put on this earth. And I'm sure there are a lot of different things to see them now as adult men, but it got them to start looking for what God had for them. And I think that's what you guys are doing. You're getting people to start looking.
No, it is interesting. Anne is so far ahead of me on this whole thing. Second grade, really. I was 18. I can tell you the place I was when I first encountered my thought of, why am I here? Which is such a big part of your book, and I want to talk about that later, to find out that purpose. Because you said it earlier, Pete, you said, love God, love others. I can tell you where I was sitting the day a teacher read Matthew 22, when the teacher came to Jesus. That's what you're referring to, and said, you know, what's the most important commandment? I'll read it to you. It's right here. because I can feel it in my soul when I first heard this. And this is what your book's all about, is like getting to a core purpose. Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And you think he's done. And then he says, and the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And I remember sitting there thinking, it doesn't matter what I do vocationally, I've got to do that whatever I do. That's my purpose. Now, what does that look like? And there's so much more to unpack, and that's why I want to talk about it.
For moms and dads to be engaged with their kids around that very subject is critical, and you guys have provided help for us in that assignment with the book you've written called Adulting 101, Wisdom for Life. This is not just a book for a parent to buy and leave on their young adult's bed. This is a great book for parents to go through chapter by chapter with a high school student or with a college student before you're ready to launch them into adulthood. Walk through this with them and just say, I just want to make sure you're comfortable in all of these areas, or see if there's anything I need to help you with. We've got copies of the book Adulting 101, Wisdom for Life. It's in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call to order 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the website familylifetoday.com, or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today, and get your copy of the book Adulting 101. You know, our goal here at Family Life is to try to provide you with practical, biblical help and hope for your marriage and your family. We want to come alongside you and offer insight, wisdom, what the scriptures have to say about issues related to marriage and family. We want to effectively develop godly marriages and families. We believe godly marriages and families can change the world, one home at a time. And all that we do here would not be possible if it weren't for listeners like you who go beyond listening and say, we want to help the families and the couples in our community. We want to help families and couples all around the world have access to this kind of biblical help and hope. Thanks to those of you who are monthly legacy partners and those of you who will from time to time make a donation to support the work of Family Life Today. We're so grateful for the partnership we have. You are a huge part of the impact that God is having through this ministry. If you're a longtime listener, you've never made a donation, you can go online to familylifetoday.com to donate or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to make a donation. And again, we're thankful for your partnership with us and glad to have you on the team. Now, we've got the president of Family Life, David Robbins, joining us. He's got some thoughts on this subject of adulting. Right, David?
That's right. You know, Bob, before coming to Family Life, Meg and I worked with 20-somethings in New York City. And often we described what we did as reparenting and helping 20-somethings grow into adulthood. And as we worked with many driven millennials who were trying to make it in such a ruthless city and discovering their life's purpose and place, we often reminded them of three core callings every follower of Jesus had, no matter what stage of life you're in. One, daily orienting your life to a moment-by-moment relationship with God. It brings so much glory to Him when we do that. Number two, God has currently given us a handful of people that you are meant to pursue and love like Jesus loved. To love your neighbors that God has put around you right now in your life actually glorifies Him so much. And finally, God has given us the place that we live, and how can we pursue the common good of the people and the place that He's put us? One of the best ways to help young people adult well and grow into what is next in their life is to help them know what it looks like to live like Jesus right where they are.
That's good. Thank you. I hope our listeners can join us back tomorrow. We're going to continue the conversation. We're going to talk about how moms and dads can continue to have a strong, healthy relationship with their children as those children move into a new phase of life, into independence. I hope you can join us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lupien. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.